upside down, I'm going to have to stand on my head. Today's special, Pickled Crow. Well, those in the know eat pickled crow. That's what they say. Oh, good. Dragnet's coming back on. The radio get bigger? The radio looks bigger. Anyway, this is always my favorite part, because in the first part of Dragnet, the old radio show, the first part, they would always figure out exactly who did it, and then they go to a commercial for Chesterfield, and then the second part would be essentially going out and getting the guy who did it. They've been chasing this character who's been breaking into grocery stores, and he's just been taking a couple of packs of smokes and petty change, no really big thefts, but he's knocked over 19 stores so far. So they're just sitting around in the car now, talking, and doing a rolling stakeout as it is. And Joe's partner's boring the hell out of him as usual. It's getting exciting now.
Hey, hold it up there. Police officer, stop or I'll shoot. Frank, he's coming around your way.
Okay. Take it easy.
Go ahead and shoot. Come on and kill me. Go ahead and shoot me. It doesn't matter anymore.
Everything all right?
Yeah.
That's not a boy. It's Dickie
Beals.
What are
you doing in the store, son?
That's not a boy.
What do you think?
It's Dickie
I'm
Beals.
You ask your question,
he was the voice of Speedy Alka-Seltzer. They've arrested Speedy Alka-Seltzer. That's not
How
a boy, it's a man.
Broken into, son?
That's not a boy, it's a man. That's not a boy, it's a man. What the? Oh my god. I'm sorry, folks. I fell asleep. Man, whoa, I didn't know I was that tired. I just laid my head down for a second and I was out. Was I dreaming too. Dan Aykroyd was arresting somebody. I can't remember. Anyway, nightmare. I jerked awake and broke my glass, knocked it off the counter here. I'm sorry. Yeah, they're coming over with a dustpan. Anyway, it's probably good that I got the dream out of the way. This is the Halloween edition of the diner, after all, and I would hate for whatever happens here to turn out to be just a dream in the end, that old cheap dramatic trick. Unless, of course, it's going to be a dream within a dream. Oh, God. No nested nocturnal hallucinations for me. Thank you very much. Hi. Hi there, I'm James Lilax, sitting here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern formica counter at the diner out on old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. And as I mentioned, it's the Halloween edition. And sure, we could sit around here and do Halloween-y things, whatever those might be, but why? Why, when in the woods beyond, we could visit the Haunted Diner. Ah, crap, I just washed my car, and now it's going to rain again. Ah, damn it. It always happens. Anyway, would you like to go to the Haunted Diner? Say yes. All right, then. Let's go. Should be fun.
Can you watch my stuff? I'll be back in just a bit. I'm going to go down to the Haunted Diner and... I'll pay when I come back. Why do you want me to pay? You want me to pay because I'm going to the Haunted Diner and may not come back? You send somebody to the Haunted Diner every day. That's where you keep the grease and the silverware. All right, I'll pay.
Like I'm never coming back from the Haunted Diner. Ooh, scary. All right, I'll pay up and let's go. Let's get going. I think these woods are haunted, too. They used to be enchanted, but there was a zoning change, I think. I didn't go to the meeting. You may wonder what makes a diner haunted. Well, this was actually a diner built before the diner that we all know and love. It was 1918, I think. And it's the old Indian burial grounds problem, frankly. They built an Indian burial ground on top of the diner. Trying to save space, I don't know, but it just didn't work out. You get to... Oh. Wonder who that's tolling for. You never know. Why is that spooky? Why do the church bells raise the hair in the back of my neck? How come there's no hair in the front of my neck? Oh, I shaved, that's right. Why is that... I'm not saying I'm spooked. I'm a rational man. You ought to be comforted by the sound of a church in the dark on Halloween. Think, oh, there's the faithful gathered in the sheltering arms of the church to praise God, but you don't, do you? It's unnerving. You think that there's something dark afoot, that it's a deconsecrated church, and they're having despoil the mass night, or, you know, or look askance at the host night or something, and there's some defrocked priest standing in front of an inverted cross about to plunge the blade into the breast of a virgin they got from the village. Probably not. Probably just having a nice service and praying for the usual things, like the resurrection of the body. Well, don't want to make it sound like they're trying to create a zombie army or anything. They're praying for the resurrection of the body, yes, but not ahead of schedule. There are just so many churchy things that take on different meanings on Halloween. Like organ music, for example. Toccata and fugue. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. A great piece of tremendous majesty, but for some reason when you hear it nowadays, you're supposed to think that evil is afoot, that, you know, that Frankenstein's around the corner. The wolfman in a sidecar or something. Oh, great. Yeah, dogs. That's creepy, too. You got your bells, you got your dogs. All I need now is an owl. Luckily, we're almost there. I can see it. I can see the lights. Why are there lights on? Why are there lights on in the haunted diner? Oh, right, they forgot to turn them off when they went to get supplies. I forgot. Okay, we'll be there soon. Hope the jukebox is stocked with some Halloween hits, because, man, I'm in the mood for some music. Let's see, I've got the key here. They warned me the door was a little rusty. Just a little. So much for the screen door. Let's try the main door. I don't know if this door needs 401 oil or Beano. Well, here I am. And it smells horrible. What is that? I think it's brimstone. But what do I know? I have no idea what brimstone smells like. It's not like you go to the Yankee Candle Company and there's a clerk there with a brimstone candle. Like a sniff, it's our new fall aroma. I don't know what it is. Dead. Well, I know the place could use a few squirts of Beelzebub Begone or some ectoplasmic freshener. The place looks pretty much the same since the last time I was here years ago. There's that old goat. Nailed up on the wall, upside down. No one's touched that. Odd how it hasn't decomposed at all. As though some dark force beyond our ken protected it. Oh, it's stuffed. Yeah, I can see that now. It's been professionally mounted. Well, it's spooky, I'll grant it that. It's not just the Indian burial ground on the roof, either. I wonder how they manifested themselves in the old days, when people's conception of American Indians was different. Did people think that ghosts came out of Indian burial grounds and said, "Ugh," and "How?"
Oh! Oh!
I don't think so. It's not just that, there was a murder here. It was a murder during an exorcism, which is like doubly super bad. There was also somebody who died here. It was a car accident, if I remember the story correctly. It was one of those drag racing things, you know, where the Kids are daring each other to go around Dead Man's Curve at a breakneck speed or beat the train over the tracks. Johnny, don't! Some girlfriend in the background. And a guy was hit by a train and a car, as a matter of fact, and thrown out and cut in half and crawled using just his arms to the diner and died here. In the ladies' bathroom, actually, the story goes. I don't know why he'd been attempting to stop the bleeding with sanitary napkin. I don't know, but that's the story. Also, he had a hook. And they say his spirit walks here still. Well, I should have brought a thermos or something, because there's nothing here to drink. Well, let's hit the jukebox. Let's find out what they got. And if it's nothing but Bobby Boris Pickett, I'm going to be peeved and ticked. Let me tell you, there's more to Halloween music than Bobby Boris Pickett. All right. Let's just punch up a tune at random and see what we get.
Dracula's house by the sea. The hors d'oeuvres were fine, but I choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me. Waitress, a vampire named Perkins, was so very fond of small gherkins. While she served the tea, she ate 43, which pickled her internal workings. Scalpels go on the left with the pitchforks. Igor, Igor. What a swimmer is Dracula's daughter, but her pool looks more red than an otter. The blood stains the boat, but it's easy to float, 'cause blood is much thicker than water. Old friend, how are things in Transylvania? For dessert, there was batwing confetti and the veins of a mummy named Betty. I first frowned upon it, but with ketchup on it, it tasted very much like spaghetti.
That was rather labored. It must have been one of those 50s, 60s attempts to cash in on resurgent monster mania. There was a particular nexus there. The rock and roll was ascendant, and people were interested in monsters again. It seemed to go in every 10-year cycles. And the two combined to produce some of the most craptacular music that the genre has ever known. Now let's cue up another one here, shall we? Why would you go to dinner at Dracula's house, exactly? Even if it is by the sea. Dinner with Dracula. How do you think that's really going to end? I mean, I can see dropping by his house if you have something. You know, he needs to notarize something. But keep the car running, stay on the porch, decline all invitations. No thanks. Rain check. And leave. Don't have dinner with Dracula. If we've learned anything, people, don't have dinner with Dracula. Well, let's see what else we have here. This thing is just chock full of 1960s monster music. C4.
Now you kids gather around, 'cause at this house there is something special going down.
Okay, let's just think through this logically. Frankenstein's house. How does Frankenstein exactly get a house? More to the point, how does Frankenstein get a mortgage? You know how bad your credit would be if you were made up entirely of body parts of dead criminals? It would be a negative 9,000. I mean, if you had the head of a guy who had defaulted on a couple of mortgages already and the thigh of some person who never paid off his credit cards. No way, even in this economic market we're in, that anybody would give you a mortgage. But let's say that he got one. Let's say somebody was stupid enough to give him a jumbo non-conforming loan. Well, you know, even though at closing he couldn't provide a social security number or a first name. You know, wrote down Spawn of, Spawn first name of for the second name. Job description, thing that should not be. You know, whatever, let's just say closing went smoothly. Where did he get the house in the first place? Who showed him the house? What is he looking for? What's the realtor going to think when you've got somebody who's clomping around the house, reeks of the grave, and then goes into an absolute fit when you show him the stove and turn on the burners? You know, and then kills you. So right then, you know, you got bad credit, you've killed the realtor, but somehow still you manage to end up in this house where you can throw a swinging party. I don't think Frankenstein was the kind of guy to rock out, frankly. I'm not fond at all of friendly Frankenstein. He shows up nowadays in all the children's literature and the children's material as a force for good somehow. So he's got a big dopey grin on his face. I'm undead. Or rather reanimated. Bolts through the neck and all the other cliches of the genre. And the scar on his forehead, which once went all the way around the scalp to indicate that the top of his head had indeed been taken off and a brain put in, is now just about an inch and a half with a couple of little stitches on it. There's no real explanation given to children for what Frankenstein actually is. They just know he's a monster. And because he's a monster, ergo, he must be good. That's the odd thing. Since Halloween turned into this eternal celebration that goes on from October 1st to the 31st, for heaven's sakes, with an entire month of festooning your house in orange and black, ever since that happened, they've had to recalibrate the classic monsters, make them unscary so as not to scare the children. So Frankenstein becomes good, which is wrong. Frankenstein had his good moments, two of them, to be specifically. One of them, when his heart was touched when he was befriended by Gene Hackman, or the old guy, the old hermit, the James Whale movie. It was a very touching moment, but it ended poorly. And then there was the time when he was touched by the beauty of the young girl, and that pretty much ended poorly too, because he's bad on impulse control. So even though he may grin and smile and look goofy and dumb, and I'm sorry, he ain't your friend. And he's not the kind of guy to invite people over and have a keg of a beer and some bean dip and then rock out. No, a guy to skulk around the alleys and kill you with a single blow of his arm. And not even just the fist, with the forearm. Just that clubs you right, you're dead. So that song to me just lacked credibility. That's all I'm saying. And now, a word from our sponsor. Whoever the devil that may be.
Wherever you go for fast relief, it's Speedy Alka-Seltzer. Oh, the island of Hawaii, what a perfect place to be. With those connies and wahinis on the beach at Waikiki. Now Hawaiians, as you've gathered, have a language that's unique. And it's awfully hard to understand Hawaiians when they speak. There's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer.
On the foggy hill rock stood a crazy little demon blowing his top. Fire in his eyes and smoke from his head. You gotta be real cool to hear the words he said. He did a for the one he loves, so he had death on his mind, cause my demon let him go. Going around through the world till he understand his pain. Somebody help him get his demon home again. He did a
I'd love to have seen the sheet music they turned into ASCAP to get the copyright for that one. How did those lyrics go? Nice tune, cute tune, but not scary. Where's the scary music? Is it even possible for music to be scary without context? That's the question. I mean, if Toccata and Fugue, you know, is scary, it's only because we've been trained to think it's scary. Some modern music is scary, but only because it's atonal and dissonant and strikes the ear wrong. Some music is utterly innocuous, but it has a foreboding horror to it because it means something. Like, let me give you an example. Thankfully, the jukebox is not stored in entirely today with the 60s dreck. This. Tell me if this makes you feel just a little uneasy. That's the opening music from Alien, and it gives me the chills every time I listen to it because I know what's coming, even if I'm not watching the movie. I've seen that movie 147 times, and I'm still filled with dread when they sit down at the dinner after John Hurt wakes up, because I know what's coming. That's an example of context, because there's nothing particularly frightful about that music. Rosemary's Baby set another example. After Rosemary's Baby, nearly every single movie that had to do with demonic possession and or the devil, it was required that they have some female voice wordlessly singing a melody in a sort of vaguely insane, glassy-eyed way. La, 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 la. That when you heard that la, la, you knew that the devil's showing up at some point here, and to this day, if you have a movie that starts out with the shadows and the ominous foreboding and la, 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 somewhere in the soundtrack, people are going to think, oh, right, well, it's a devil movie. And that has nothing to do with the inherent nature of the music. It has everything to do with suggestion and context and all of that. So, again, can music be truly frightening? Let me poke around here in the jukebox and see if I can find some other examples. The piano is innocent, so that could be ominous.
God, no. Make it stop.
Thank you. That's not particularly intrinsically inherently scary, but does something to me for other reasons. Let's try something else here. Oh, this should chill you to the bone. Scary at all, is it? In fact, it's rather majestic. Why isn't it scary? Because it's not the organ version. It's the orchestra version by Leopold Stokowski of Bach Staccato and Fugue, his classic number one hit. And it makes you wonder again, well then, what's so scary about the organ exactly? Somewhere along the line, the organ became associated with intelligent madness. People sat up all night playing strange things on their organ. You know, their organ. The pipe organ that everybody had. Well, apparently they did, or at least enough of them did, so that the cliché made sense. It has to do, I think, with the same reason that the Victorian house is the standard haunted house. Not because there's anything about the Victorian design that's scary, but 30, 40 years afterwards, it was an old style from the previous century, and the ruined, dumpy houses that looked most likely to be haunted were probably of the Victorian design. So they became associated with haunted houses. The same thing will happen if the suburban rambler falls from favor and nobody keeps them up. And 50, 60 years from now, the ramblers all look like dumps. Kids are going to think that the standard haunted house is the suburban rambler. And if there's an instrument that's fallen out of favor, like the organ has fallen, say the electric guitar, you know, kids walking past a suburban rambler house where somebody's rocking out on Stairway to Heaven is going to think, it's a haunted joint, as opposed to there's some pathetic stoner in there trying to learn that lick over and over again. So I'm not really scared by the organ. I don't like it. It's never an instrument that's done anything for me. It's just not my cup of tea, but doesn't scare me. Nothing scares me. This is just the most unfrightening Halloween I think I've ever spent. And in a haunted diner, nonetheless. How many people died here? There was the murder during the exorcism. There was the guy who died after the accident of the band. Oh, right. A surrealist beat poet killed himself here. Yeah, he hung himself, which takes some work because there's no rafters. I think he had to use the ceiling fan or something, and then he was sort of whipped around for a while. So at least he got a nice breeze before he checked out. Yeah, a surrealist beat poet. And they say his spirit haunts here still. Well, they would, wouldn't they? Well, this is a complete disappointment. I think perhaps I'd better head back, pay my bill, have some pumpkin pie. How come pumpkin pie is not a treat for Halloween? You'd think it'd be perfect, all those pumpkins about. But nobody eats pumpkin pie on Halloween. Odd, like it's somehow sacrilegious, an insult to the spirit of the pumpkin. And I don't know, I love pumpkin pie with a little whipped cream. I didn't turn that on.
Cousin to know he pickled crow. All the rest eat partridge breast. I can promise you that. Like a new Easter hat. It's over today. So give a hooray.
It's the ghost of the surrealist beat poet.
Sing a little tune.
I'm getting out of here.
I was walking through the woods one night, my girl I'd gone to see. It was sort of strange and creepy out and dark as it could be. No moon or stars, not a bit of light, so doggone quiet, you see. Then suddenly in the front and back, something jumped at me.
Run, Spook, run.
Get out of my way.
Run, Spook, run.
This is no time to play.
Run, Spook, run.
I'm scared to the gut.
Run, Spook, run.
Is you some kind of nut?
Whatever you are, you better flee.
Cause there's another spook coming after me. Tearing through the woods, us three, a mighty hard race to win. A terrible noise behind me, my hopes is getting thin. Caught in the middle between the two, couldn't think of a thing to do. Running through like a crazy spree, some son of a gun chasing me.
Run, Spook, run.
Get out of my way.
Run, Spook, run.
This is no time to play.
Run, Spook, run.
I'm scared to the gut.
Run, Spook, run.
Is you some kind of nut?
Whatever you are, you better flee.
Cause there's another spook coming after me. Seems we ran about a mile and a half, out of breath and misery. I ran smack into a dad-burned calf, a cow's plowing into me. There we lay, a silly sight, the cow and the calf and me. The scary spooks that gave me a fright was very plain to see.
Run, Spook, run.
Get out of my way.
Run, Spook, run.
This is no time to play.
Run, Spook, run.
Just overreacted a little bit. It's, it's Halloween. What can you say? Nerves are a little frayed. It's good to be back in a safe, clean, well-lit diner. And why are you all looking at me like that? Don't tell me my hair's gone white. Some of you are nodding and some of you are shaking your head. So my hair has gone white, but not my head hair. Did my eyebrows go white? Because that would really be weird. No. Did my nose hair go white? Yeah. Oh. Well, a little personal grooming should take care of that, I guess. That'll be it for the Halloween edition of The Diner, folks. I'm James Lilacs. Thank you for stopping by. Have a happy Halloween, if that's not an utter oxymoron, and we'll see you down the road.
Breast.